talk today, and this is an interesting observation I'm going to make today about Jesus and how Jesus followed the will of God. And it's very important for us, we know, to follow God's will, to do what pleases God. That's, remember we said, you know, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. And it's like, you know, to be pleased with what pleases God, to let that be kind of our heart, that we want to do what pleases Him. And eventually, especially because we know there's that day of the entrance into the kingdom where, you know, He's going to look at us and we want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, right? And so obeying the will and purposes of God is very important, right? But it's challenging. It's challenging. And so, you know, we're going to look at Jesus doing that. And guess what? It was challenging. He was challenged. And so as we think about this, I want to think about how, you know, Jesus was challenged. There's a verse in this section. We're going to look at these nine verses and a little more in John chapter 7. But it was around the Feast of Tabernacles. And Feast of Tabernacles was a time where people would live in tents. I think about, you know, if we tried to do that, we'd get our little pup tents and set them out around, and we'd all live in tents for a week. And it was to remind them of God taking them through the wilderness. And in connection with what I was thinking about this text and how I'm seeing it unfold, it makes sense that, you know, it's about God getting us through the wilderness, right? The idea of obeying God's will and that. It's a celebration of the Lord's protection throughout the wilderness. You know, God gave them manna, bread from heaven. He made their clothes last for 40 years. He stopped rebellions. There's a few rebellions. Miriam and Aaron, they rebel at one point against Moses, and Korah rebels against Moses. And then there was also enemies that attacked him, right? So God protected His people through the wilderness. And the Feast of Tabernacles was about that. It was about remembering God's protection. Jesus is walking, in a sense, through a wilderness. He's a stranger in a strange land. He is, you know, not of the world, and the world surrounds Him. And He's very much a kingdom person in the world. Person seeking, and he said it, and we'll look at it again a little bit. He has said six times, I am here to do the will of my Father up to this point. In a self-willed world. In other words, the world is always about what, you know, I'm doing what I want to do for me. And Jesus says, I am here to follow my Father's will. I'm here to do God's will. How He lived and how we live, as we walk through the wilderness, I think we can look at Jesus, see some connections and say, okay, I've seen that. I know what's happening, and I want to be, like we always say, like Jesus. So in chapter 7, it was after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because of the Jews were there waiting to take His life. We've talked about this many times, and Chris was talking about it across the street as he's doing Matthew, Sunday morning Bible study. Very good work being done there. Right, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's not that early. For some of you, maybe it seems that way. But he's staying away from Jerusalem, from Judea in the south. Okay, that's the down, and then the north is Galilee. And it's safer up there because no one's trying to kill him in Galilee. If you have a choice, folks, of where you're going to be, I would suggest staying where people are not going to kill you versus going to the place where they are going to kill you, right? And this is the thing, okay? Jesus knows that there's a time coming where He's going to Jerusalem. He knows that you know, when He goes there eventually, they are going to take Him, try Him, and kill Him. He knows that. He knows that Jerusalem is a dangerous place. It is a place of intense spiritual warfare, if you will. Okay? The enemy is going to think he has the upper hand, and he's going to think that he's stopped God by killing Jesus. And Jesus is very much aware of all this. You know, some places support our faith. We can come into this place and we can say what the Bible says. We can preach it, you know, from the bottom of our hearts and scream it to the heavens, you know. God is righteous. God is holy. Our culture is a mess, right? You can't say things that we say here everywhere. And our culture is becoming more and more that way. I mean, when I was a kid, you could pray in school. When I was a kid, you could think about God, talk about God. We even had a class when I was in high school on reading the Bible. They read it as literature, but we still talked about God, right? They don't do that much anymore. Jesus was walking carefully. That's what I want you to notice. Now, here's Jesus. He knows everything. He's all powerful, but he's not taking things lightly. He knows the spaces that are trouble. He knows the places that are safer to do work. And it's not that he totally avoids Judea. He eventually goes, but he knows what's waiting for him when he goes. And when he goes, he's ready. And when he goes, he's on God's time, right? Something for us to think about in relation to spiritual battle and struggle. There was a time for him to go, and there was going to be a great battle when he got there. He knew that, but he wasn't like going to run into it. We can see things on the horizon as regard to Christianity. And you could hasten the day of those battles that are coming by doing things to push them along. But let's not do it, right? In other words, let's not stir up trouble just for the sake of that coming battle. We know it's out there. We know that our culture is becoming worse and worse and more anti-Christ and more anti-God. And no culture has ever gone that way and gone back. It just seems it's going to get worse and it's coming. But let's not do anything to hasten that day, right? So Jesus walked carefully. So his fellows tell him, you know, like they want him to go to Judea. And their whole thing is no one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. So what are they? Here are his closest friends. Think about this part. His closest friends are not in tune with the will of God for Jesus. His closest friends haven't heard or known what Jesus knows. Okay? And they're telling him, you need to be a politician. You need to get out there. You're not going to win the campaign if you don't go up and put some posters around Jerusalem and start telling everybody your platform. That's really what they're looking for. They have a political agenda in mind for Jesus. They think that he's supposed to go to Jerusalem and run for office and take over Jerusalem. And of course, none of that is in the purpose and will of God. Remember earlier, just the chapter before, the people wanted to make Jesus king. The people were pushing him in that direction. His disciples are pushing him in that direction. His closest friends. And it says that, you know, because they didn't believe, he restrains their ambitions for him. Yeah, what? Remember, like the confession in Matthew 16, which Chris will get to on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in the future. But Peter says, don't you dare talk about going to Jerusalem to die. You can't talk like that. You're going to discourage your people. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, right? Because the things in your mind are not the things of God. You have in your mind the things of men, not the things of God. Same thing's happening here. His closest friends are trying to urge him towards something that isn't along the line of God's will and purpose. And so Jesus is, you know, not going to listen to them. He knows God's will. He knows God's purpose. You know, sometimes we're given choices. Sometimes we're given choices. Sometimes a really great opportunity will come up. And that great opportunity, you know, looks like, wow, that's what, of course I should do that. Why? Because it's a great opportunity. But if it's not in the line of the will of God, if that's not God's purposes, it could actually be the wrong thing to take that opportunity, right? So sometimes you let the great opportunity go, and everybody around you will think, what are you, nuts? You're letting this thing go. You could do something, be something, whatever. But God has something else in mind for you. God has another plan for you. And you know, you have to be a little strong to say, I'm not going to do what's obvious. I'm going to do what only I understand, because I understand this is God's will. This is God's purpose. The main thing that all of us want to understand is there is no better place for us to be than in the will of God. No matter what it looks like to our friends, no matter what it looks like to our families, no matter what, if we're in the will of God, if we're doing what God wants, then it's right, it's good, it's the best place we can be, right? So Jesus knows that, and Jesus, you know, isn't, you know, following the crowd, and he isn't following the advice of his closest friends, because they're not in touch with God's mission and they're not in touch with God's purposes for him, and he's going to stay with God's purposes. Therefore, Jesus told them, the time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. Now, he, you know, of course, this is Jesus. He knows our purpose and his purpose. You know, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that what it does is evil. So here's Jesus, and this is the paradigm that John shows so many times in the Gospel of John, where he talks about the world, and he uses the term world and heaven in contrast to each other. And Jesus is sent into the world, and he is in an enemy camp in the world, and the world hates him here. He says, why? Because I'm testifying that the world is wrong, that the world does evil, and the things that they're calling good aren't good, and the things they're calling true and right are wrong, right? Can any of us kind of put ourselves in that picture these days? You know, we have a different argument than the world around us. We think that marriage is a sacred thing, and that when people get married, they should stay married. And that, you know, you shouldn't be cohabiting like rabbits or dogs, but you should be married before God, and God in the center of your heart and of your home. We believe that. Our culture doesn't believe that anymore. It's obvious they don't believe it. We believe in God. We believe there is a God, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. We believe that they have absolute authority over us. We believe that, and we live in a world, again, if you were to go on college campuses and ask people about God, they would give you all kinds of crazy answers, none of them lining up with Scripture, none of them lining up. We believe in the Bible. We believe the Word of God is absolute truth. It's authoritative. The Bible can tell me what to do. The Bible can tell me if I'm right or wrong. We believe that. It's authoritative, right? And again, if you ask people, what's the Bible? Oh, it's a book. It's fairy tales. It's this or that. And they don't agree with us. And they definitely don't agree with us about restrooms and how they're supposed to be used, right? I mean, this ridiculous debate about, you know, we believe that God created men and God created women. And we believe God made men to be men and women to be women. And we believe anything that messes with that is sin. And wrong, and not God's plan, and not acceptable to God. And any bowing down to this nonsense that's out in our culture, well, that's a counter argument. And the world hates us for doing that, for saying that. I'm very safe saying that here, but if I go down to the courthouse and start saying the very same thing, they're liable to put chains on me, you know, or they're liable to label me a bigot. Right? They hate the idea of saying what God says is true. So here Jesus is, you know, again, the contest for doing the will of God, the purposes of God. He has, you know, the world working against him. Right? So look at this little paradigm here. In chapter 5, Jesus, you know, heals on the Sabbath, right? And what happens? The leaders want to kill Jesus. Okay. The leaders want to kill Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. He broke their rule, right? But Jesus is not going to change what he's doing because people threaten him. He's not going, in other words, he's wise about what he does, but he's not going to stop. He's not going to quit being Jesus. He's not going to quit, you know, serving. In chapter 6, he feeds the 5,000. The people want to make him a king. They want to, I don't know what your plans are, Jesus, but you need to be king because we need this kind of food every day, and this is great. You be our king. And Jesus went up into the mountains to get away from them because that was not God's purposes. Then his own disciples are saying, you know, come on, you need to be a public figure. You need to get out there. You need to get your name known. People need to see you. And again, that was not God's will. That was not God's purpose for him. Jesus was not going to listen to even his closest friends when it came to how he was going to live his life and his purpose and his mission. The world hates him. And that is not going to stop Jesus from being Jesus, from telling the truth. Now, again, you know, let's take Jesus out of this. But let's put ourselves in that same path. Like our purpose is to do the will of God. Jesus said, you know, or John says about Jesus that he came to make children of God for the will of God. That was God's will. That his food was to do the will of God. He seeks the will of him who sent him in chapter 5. He came to do the will of him who sent me, chapter 6. God's will is that he loses none, and that God's will is that he gives believers eternal life. All the way through, Jesus is talking about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. I pray for us that the purpose and will of God is at the center of our life in the same way. Because if you think about it, all this stuff that happened to Jesus, in some micro sense, can happen to us. People kind of pushing us in a direction. The world, the culture, trying to push us in a direction. People, you know, I don't want to be hated. I don't like being hated. Who does? But if I stand for the truth, I know in this culture, in this day, we're going to be hated, right? And Jesus stood through all these tests, through all this trial, through all this. For what? For what? To obey the will of God? To die on a cross and to become the Savior of everybody who will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus obeyed the will of God so that the kingdom of heaven would come into existence. Jesus obeyed the will and purposes of God because he was in God's mind, in God's will, in God's plan. He was bringing about the kingdom of billions of children who will live with God in glorious, glorious freedom. In the kingdom of heaven. That's the will of God. And it's not like it's easy. I always tell you, you know, Jesus weeping and praying before he went to the cross. You know, your will be done, not mine. Yielding himself to God. And I think for us, you know, if it's a challenge for Jesus, and Jesus is being challenged in all these different ways, we're being challenged just as well. Because the world isn't getting better. It's getting worse, and the temptations are getting stronger, I think, every day. And the friendships and the number of people, let's say it this way, how many people do we know that are actually thinking in line with God's will to really encourage us towards God's will? Or is something else driving their heart and their mind, and they're going to come and tell you, oh, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to be. And it's contrary to the will. All of that, right? To be in God's will. Jesus just walked that path. Nothing budged him. Nothing moved him. He was totally dedicated to God's will, to God's strength. Now, he was there at the feast, and it says that, you know, another place where people are divided about him. Some say he's a good man. Other people, he's a liar. You know, he's deceiving people. But the important part of what comes next about us obeying God and following God's will. Jesus was up in the temple courts and he began to teach, and the Jews were amazed and asked how this man gets such learning without having studied. And Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me." In other words, again, that his words were God's words. His words were God's truth. And even the leaders of the Jews were amazed at that. The ones that wanted to kill him were amazed at the things he was saying and teaching. And he says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, if we stay on that path of following God's will, I want my heart, my life, my mind, everything that I am invested in obeying God. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want what Jesus did for me to count for something, right? And he says, if you choose to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. What's he saying? Those who are in the will of God, the word of God just clicks for us. We say, amen, amen. That's me. That's us. That's the plan. That's God's purpose. And those two things go so well together. The word and will of God. They go so well together in our hearts and our lives. What I pray for us is that we are, again, dedicated to walk that narrow, hard path with all the confusion all around us, telling us we're not smart for doing things the way we do them. We're bigots or troublemakers or foolish because we believe the things that Scripture says that are true, that our culture no longer holds to at all. They'll call us names. They'll hate us. They'll try to move us. But when we stay that course, it will confirm our faith day by day. As we look into the Word of God, and the Word of God confirms the will of God, and we just keep stepping day after day after day. The end of that life is entrance into the kingdom of heaven. The end of Jesus's was the basically creating the possibility of the kingdom of heaven for all people who will believe. And for those who stay in God's will, listen to His Word, right, brings us to that kingdom. Don't let anything move you. Don't let anybody move you from what you know is God's will and purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.